So we are here to talk about part two of Framework of the Christian State. And despite the fact that we had even an extra week, David, to complete this, the value of a book club once again has brought to the fore for me, as it has been over the years, that books this large outside of graduate and undergraduate studies are either completed by an enormous effort of will or by a book club. So, the book is fascinating in and of itself, but I know that I finished it when I did because I had accountability to finish it for this meeting. So we'll start with our regular lightning round. What did we think of this section and one thing we liked or we didn't like? I'll go first. I would like to say that I liked this part more than part one. However, part one laid all of the foundation for part two. So I can't really, you know, you can't really enjoy part two without having gone through the work of part one. I will say it didn't read as, if I felt that part one was part detective story, part history, and I wanted to keep going, part two felt definitely more structured and it didn't necessarily pull you on in the same way that part one did. Almost in a sense, part one had narrative urgency that didn't occur here. And I'm not complaining. I think I'm just giving context for why it may take people longer to finish part two than part one, is that it's just closer. You know, I wouldn't say it's a textbook, but it's closer to a textbook than part one was. Right. That's what I have to say.
Yes, totally take your point there. It's a systematic, comprehensive treatment of a lot of difficult subjects. I like the way he contrasts the pagan view, the liberal view, the socialist view, and then the Christian view is laid out. That's very kind of clear. And you know, the differences between the four different type views on each subject. So he goes through, just for anybody listening, he goes systematically through your the human person, the family, husband and wife, education, employer and employee, women, the state, the nature of the state, justice, including taxation, charity, patriotism, and the church. So it's a massive amount of to cover. He does it. I think he does it pretty well. Sometimes some of it feels slightly outdated, or subject to, you know, the particular time he was writing. But a lot of it stands up very well. I think probably just there's probably five or six things that just jumped out from the page at me as something that, gosh, you couldn't even say that today, especially in the stuff about, you know, the role of women in society, and some of the stuff about education. I thought there was an interesting chapter on patriotism, which was an interesting chapter. So, I mean, there's loads in it and there's loads to dip into. So, challenge.
Well, as I was thinking about, as I was looking at my notes for how to structure today's conversation, I thought, well, there's really many, many different fields we could plow. But, you know, you mentioned, you mentioned patriotism. I'd like to come on to that first. But I would like to start by saying, I wish I had not been so long in my life before coming to a proper understanding of how the state is supposed to be constructed and what our duties as individuals, as Christians, as families, as companies, as businesses, as guilds, as corporations, associations are to it, and how deeply my notions of government are influenced by American suspicion of government. That yes. Those notions, which are properly, you could say, American. So Ronald Reagan has famously said, you know, one of the most dangerous words in the English language is someone knocking at your door saying, I'm from the government and I'm here to help, you know, or government.
Mrs. Thatcher said there was no such thing as society.
Right. Very much.